Welcome to the podcast of Life Change Church, where we exist to love people to life change. We hope that this podcast is both challenging and encouraging to you. Enjoy the message.
All right, well, hey, good morning, and hey, we are jumping back into our series entitled Not Enough. This is week four of a five-week series, but before we jump in, as always, I want to share with you a couple of announcements, and I do apologize for the slides and the bulletin. There's a couple of things that weren't on there, and that was all my fault. One of those is prayer tonight. We do have prayer tonight at 6 p.m. There's childcare provided, so if you're interested in that, it's just an incredible way to start off your week. We throw music on the background and throw some slides there to guide you through prayer, but really it's just an hour that you can start your week off spending time with God. And then I do want to promote student life. Today is kind of student life day, really, if you would, in a way. Coming up is student life takeover, but today, starting at 3 o'clock here at the church, make sure I had that right, 3:15, they're meeting at the church, and then student life is actually going to spend time together all the way up until 7. They're going to meet here at the church at 3:15, and then they're actually going to Everett Park, and they're going to do a cleanup of the park. So all together, they're going to clean up the park, and then from there, they're going to leave, and then they're going to have some fun together, and they're going to go to the Mangan House, and they're going to have a bonfire out there, and then they'll be back here at 7 p.m. So if you have a student in student life, grades 6 through 12, make sure they're here at 3:15, and then you can pick them back up at 7 p.m. here. And another thing they're doing is they're getting ready for the student life takeover, which is the Sunday right after Thanksgiving, so coming up just in a couple Sundays, and here's how you can help them. There is yet another survey in your bulletin. So right now, pull out your bulletin. And if you don't have a bulletin, I think we have some ushers that can get a bulletin to you here quickly. So just simply raise your hand and an usher will do that. But there is another survey in there. And they're coming around. There's another survey in there and some questions asked. And I believe this one is what not to say to your pregnant wife. And I think this one may hit home to our student life leader as his wife is pregnant and just about ready to go within the next month. So exciting stuff. So make sure you write that, fill that out. They've got some incredible stuff planned. They haven't given out and fully said everything that they're doing, but I will tell you this, that is going to be a family service that day. So that will be a family service where all your family is more than welcome to come in. We will actually not have Kids Life besides nursery on that Sunday because it'll be an event and it'll be a service where the kids can interact and it'll be something fun for them as well. So that's the Sunday after Thanksgiving. So if you would, fill that that questionnaire out right now. And then the last announcement before we jump in is our partnership meeting, which is December 10th, coming up December 10th at 6 p.m. And so many of you guys know we were a church plant, and we still kind of are a church plant, but we're taking that next step. So we've been around for 3 years, but we've been under the under C3 Church in Pickerington, but really we're taking that next step to where we're going to become our own church, and we're adopting our own bylaws. So if you're a partner, meaning that you've gone through the class and you signed the covenant form, you are invited. In fact, it's mandatory is a little bit of a strong word, but it's part of your responsibility to come to this meeting on December 10th so that we can vote in our bylaws and then continue to move forward and allow us really to accomplish all that we believe that God has for us as a church. So exciting stuff coming up, so make sure you're marking your calendars for all those things. But I'm excited you're here with us today because we're jumping back into our series entitled Not Enough. And if you remember, the last few weeks we've been talking about these different feelings that we have, these struggles that we have with ourselves. And some of these struggles, they really keep us from achieving all that God wants us to achieve, or at least they do in our own minds, right? We have these struggles that we think God can't really use. And the truth is, everyone has reasons and struggles of why they think they can't experience breakthrough in their life, or why they feel like God can't use them. Again, when you watch this video, or when you see this graphic, you saw that blank, and you probably began to fill in the blank in your life, right? There's probably something you struggle with. You say, you know what? I'm not smart enough, right? I'm not good enough. I'm not spiritual enough. I'm not talented enough. I'm not just enough. And we have these blanks, and we have these reasons. We have these struggles, and really keeps us from accomplishing all that God wants us to accomplish. And through this series, what we're doing is we're jumping in, and we're trying to shatter that way of thinking. Shatter that way of thinking to realize that no matter what our shortcomings are, no matter what we even think our shortcomings are, no matter what we believe about ourselves, that God can still use us. We're exactly the kind of person that God can and wants to use because He created us for Him, right? And we learn this truth, and really it's the foundational truth through this series, and it's this, is that Jesus picks the unexpected and the not good enough. Jesus picks the unexpected and the not good enough. Jesus picks me. Jesus picks you. He picks each and every one of us. Again, Jesus lived a perfect life because he knew we couldn't. But he still wanted to have that, he still wanted to give us that relationship with God. So he died on a cross and was risen again to give us new life, to say that he picks us, regardless of our feeling of how we're not enough. Because the truth is, we're not enough. But he is always enough. He picks us even when we're not disciplined. Even when we're not disciplined enough, which is what I want to talk about today. I want to talk about that feeling of not being disciplined enough. And if you think about it, how many of you have ever struggled with the feeling of not being disciplined enough? Right? Raise your hand if you're ever like, man, I wish I could do more. I wish there was something else. I wish I struggled in this area, right? Listen, maybe it's your diet. Maybe it's in exercising. Maybe it's in finances. Maybe it's in your Bible reading or even in your spiritual life as well, right? Whatever it is, we have that feeling of not being disciplined enough. We struggle with that. And if we think about it, we can probably go back to the time where we realized that it's easier to be undisciplined than it is to be disciplined, right? So for me, one of my struggles is I struggle with what I eat and when I eat and how much I eat. So listen, I could run all day. In fact, I like running. I can run all day. I could work out all day. But what I eat is a struggle. And I can go back to when that actually happened. So it was in between second and third grade. Between second and third grade, I broke my arm. So I fell off a jungle gym. Actually, my dad didn't catch me, but no, I fell off a jungle gym, and so didn't call him out or anything, but I fell off a jungle gym. I broke my arm, and it put me in this cast, and it was like I broke my wrist, but the cast was all the way up to here, like all the way up to my arm. So that summer and really going into the fall, I realized that it was a lot easier instead of running around all the time. It was a lot easier to watch reruns of Growing Pains and then to eat food. So that's what I did. That's what I did all summer, and really it created this habit of being undisciplined in what I ate. And I learned something about food. I learned that the best combination in the world is Yoo-hoo and Swiss rolls. Now, some of you know what I'm talking about. Some of you guys are judging me right now, but because you're like, that's a terrible choice and you're so undisciplined, Corey. But Yoo-hoo is like chocolate milk on crack. Like it's chocolate milk on steroids. It's like so, I don't even know what's in it, but it's amazing, right? And then Swiss rolls, let me just say, Little Debbie knows what's up. Like, I'm not talking Ho-Hos, I'm talking Swiss rolls. See, Ho-Hos come in a one pack, but Little Debbie gives you the two pack. You could peel off the chocolate and then you go to the cake, and you know how you eat those things, right? But this led to this combo of being undisciplined in my life, which really led to the introduction of Husky pants as a little kid, right? So, but for some of you guys, you're right there with me. Like, some of you guys, you're going to go home, and you're going to, like, straight up, you're going to stop by Walmart, get some Yoo-Hoo, see if they even still sell it, and then you're going to go back in the aisle and get some Swiss rolls is right. Some of you guys, though, you're more disciplined in the area of food, and you're thinking, like, man, I can feel you judging me right now. I understand. It's not a healthy combo. It's cool. But some of you struggle in other areas, right? We struggle maybe financially. We struggle, and the start of it is that coupon we get in the mail that says you save $10 when you spend $50. But listen, that opens that door to really spending money carelessly, right? You could have saved $40 by not even using that coupon at all, but there's that cycle of becoming undisciplined. And sometimes I think, too, if we're going to be honest, we even struggle being disciplined in our spiritual lives. Many of you guys probably do this, and listen, I'm right there with you. I want to just share with you, I'm right there with you. In fact, this year, one of my New Year's Eve resolutions and kind of the goal in my spiritual life was to journal on a regular basis, and to journal on a consistent basis. And I'm just going to be honest, journaling is a spiritual discipline, and I'm not the best at this. Like, I struggle. Like, there's days I miss, and there's actually months I miss. So there's been times I missed. Now, I knew how this has been a sermon. We kind of prepped sermons ahead of time, so I knew this was coming up. So I'm actually been, like, I know I'm going to talk about this. So, like, I've been on. And I actually switched it out. Instead of writing handwritten journals, I kind of cheat, and I do it in my phone, in my Evernote, because it makes it easier for me and actually works. But it helped me, right? But there's areas where we struggle with being disciplined. And here's what I know, and here's what I'm thankful in those areas. I'm thankful for God's grace. Listen, if you're here today and you struggle with this thought of not being disciplined enough, whether in your physical life, whether in your financial life, your social life, and even in your spiritual life, I want you to understand that God's grace is enough. God's grace empowers us in our lack of discipline. God's grace empowers us in our lack of discipline. Now, I didn't say entitles, but I said empowers. And there's a huge difference in that, right? Grace is never used as an excuse, but it's used rather as empowerment. It's used as direction. God's grace empowers us, which means it gives us both freedom and guidance. Really, God's grace is the perfect combination of His truth and His love. And His grace, it leads to freedom, and it leads to that freedom and becoming all that He created us to be. It leads to that freedom to making our own decisions. Grace is given, and it's given to us, and given to us to make a decision to love and to honor Him. But it's never forced. This is who Jesus is. This is the power of Jesus. And this is what God can do through His grace. He can redefine our weakness into His strength. He can redefine our past into His future. He can redefine our sin into His purity, right? He can change even our lack of discipline. But it happens through grace. God's grace empowers us in our lack of discipline. And if you look at the nature of God, if you look at who He is, you see that that's a part of who God is, right? It's a nature. It's His nature is grace. You see this through the New Testament. You see this through Jesus. But even if you go back and you look at the Old Testament, you see it as well. You see God continually give grace. And we're going to study and jump in. And we're going to look at an example of this in the story of Rahab. So if you've never heard of Rahab, get ready to live. Like, this is one of those ones. Dude, are you really preaching about Rahab on a Sunday morning? We're going to jump into it. Some crazy stuff in the Bible. And Rahab is one of those stories. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me. We're going to spend some time in Joshua chapter 6. And then we're going to bounce back and actually go to Joshua chapter 2. But start with me at Joshua chapter 6. And if you don't have a Bible, we always challenge you to download the YouVersion Bible app. Incredible resource. Take with you wherever you go. You can put it on your phone. There's reading plans. And listen, we want you to read your Bible every single day, right? Not just on a Sunday morning, but every single day. In fact, we put reading plans out on our social media that you can follow along with. And you can jump in and you can read throughout the week as well. So let's jump in there. Joshua chapter 6. And looks at the life of Rahab. Now, to qualify Rahab's former life as simply being undisciplined is pretty generous. Right? That's a pretty generous description of the life that she led. See, the truth is, Rahab was a sinner. Much like you and I, where she was a sinner. But her sin was one that most people kind of judged a little bit harder, right? Because the fact is, Rahab was a prostitute. Now, prostitution in this time was a little bit more common. It wasn't necessarily culturally looked down at, and it wasn't really, the people weren't really necessarily victimized as much. It was their choice to do this act. But it was a way of life that was completely undisciplined. But if you look at Rahab, it gives us a glimpse into someone who had really made all kinds of destructive decisions, yet with God's grace, she learned to choose a better way of living and even became set free. So go with me. We're going to start here in Joshua chapter 6, and we're going to read verses 22 through 25. And in this passage, you see Joshua and the Israelites, they're getting ready to take over the city of Jericho. They marched around the city for 7 days, right? And the seventh day, they marched around 7 times. And then they all screamed, and the walls came tumbling down. God handed the city over to Joshua. He handed the city of Jericho over to the Israelites, but He showed grace to Rahab. Check this out here in verse 22. So Joshua said to the two men who had spied out the land, "Go into the prostitute's house and bring her out and all who belong to her in accordance with your oath to her." So the young men who had done the spying went in and brought out Rahab, her father and mother, her brothers and sisters, and all who belonged to her. They brought out her entire family and put them in a place outside the camp of Israel. Then they burned the whole city and everything in it. But they put the silver and gold and the articles of bronze and iron into the treasury of the Lord's house. But Joshua spared Rahab the prostitute, with her family and all who belonged to her, because she hid the men Joshua who had sent spies to Jericho, and she lives among the Israelites to this day. Think about this. Here's this whole entire city of Jericho. In fact, Jericho is once known as one of the worst cities around. This whole entire city of Jericho was being destroyed. God had handed them over to Joshua. God had handed them over to the Israelites to completely take out. But there was one family that was spared in the town. This one family, and it wasn't the most talented family. It wasn't the most attractive family. It wasn't the smartest family. It wasn't the most spiritual family. And it definitely wasn't the most disciplined family. It was the family of a prostitute. And what's crazy about this is that the life Rahab led afterwards was a good life. Like, she is truly a story from rags to riches. She's truly the story of an unlikely hero. In fact, if you dig into the story of Rahab a little bit, she ended up marrying this guy named Salmon, who was one of the spies. And Salmon was actually the prince of the house of Judah. So if you think about Rahab, here she goes. She goes from being a prostitute to the wife of a prince. She goes from being a prostitute to part of one of the leading families in Israel. She goes from being a prostitute to really, it goes even crazier than that. She goes from being a prostitute to being part of the lineage of Jesus Christ himself. Think about that, right? God changed her from just being a prostitute, from being just a sinner, from being undisciplined. God changed her from that to being sanctified, to being ennobled, to being worthy of called a saint, to being part of the heritage, to being part of the lineage of Jesus, to be part of the lineage of our Savior, the Savior of the world. In fact, if you dig even in and even more in the New Testament, you see Paul write about Rahab, and you see him listing her as one of the heroes of the faith. God erased her former life of shame. God erased her former life of this lack of discipline and made her new. God's grace empowers us and our lack of discipline. And God's grace empowered Rahab and her family to be spared. And God's grace changed her life, changed her lifestyle, changed her way of making an income, and changed her actions, right? God's grace changed her outcome. God's grace empowers us in our lack of discipline. But too many times what I think we do is I think we focus on our discipline, or we focus on what we can do, or what the lack of what we do and the lack of our own discipline, as opposed to God's grace. Therefore, what happens is we either abuse grace altogether, or we completely miss out on it. We never fully accept it. Instead of living that life of empowerment, what happens is we miss out on grace, or we even live a life of entitlement. We live that life of entitlement because we think we earned it. When it becomes about what we do, what we can or what we don't do, we think we earned that grace, and really it's a downward spiral. And really what we're doing is we're covering up sin with what we think is success. And this happens too much. Often we use external success to cover up internal bankruptcy. We're trying to earn and do everything we can. I mean, think about social media, right? Think about Facebook. What do? We throw the best of the best on Facebook of our lives. We show great pictures of our kids, of our family, of our houses. We show those things and we say, hey, man, this is how great we are. When we put a newsletter out, when we send our Christmas cards, we send the best thing out as we share the stories about how great our year was, right? We do these things, right? We show these pictures of our kids behaving. Let's just be honest. If we have kids, we know that's not normal, right? That's not a normal way of life, right? We show these pictures of our family when they're not fighting, right? But sometimes that happens. We show pictures of our house when it actually looks presentable, not like the moment where it looks like a tornado went through the inside. We show these pictures of these healthy dinner. You look at what people are eating, you're like, come on, that's not what you're really eating. We know you stopped at later and got some more food, right? We show these pictures of this great healthy dinner that we put together, but we don't show the picture where we stopped through the drive-through because we were in a rush at lunch, right? We do these things because it makes us look a little better. We post the pictures that make us look more disciplined than we really are. Not really the hot mess that sometimes we fall into. And I think we do this in our spiritual lives as well. Even with God, we try to show God our best. We try to show God all that we can do or all that we're not doing. And really what happens is we turn that relationship into God into just a list of do's and don'ts. And we view that and we view our track record as success as opposed to our connection with him. We brag on all that we've done instead of bragging all that he's done. And this, on the negative side, if we don't meet up to our own standards, we end up beating ourselves up and we fall short. And often it leaves us unable to receive that grace. And any grace we do receive, we think we earned it and we end up abusing it. We end up feeling entitled to that grace. And instead of calling things out in our lives that are sin, what we do is we end up covering them up. We justify them. We make them a lifestyle and say, you know what, that's just who I am. Like, that's just a part of me. We don't live empowered because of this. But I want to back up today. I want to look at Rahab. And I want to study how she was able to experience God's grace. I want to study how she was able to receive God's grace and how we can do the same in our life. So let's go back to Joshua chapter 2. And again, Joshua chapter 2 starts off by showing how Rahab took in two spies from the Israelites. How Rahab allowed these two spies to come into her house. Not only that, she hid them, she protected them, and then she also set them free and gave them an escape plan. She was protecting them from people who wanted to kill these spies. And if the people who knew that she was hiding, they would kill her as well. But check out what she did here in verse 8 of Joshua chapter 2. It says, before the spies lay down for the night, she went up on the roof and she said to them, I know that the Lord has given you this land and that a great fear of you has fallen on us. so that all who live in this country are melting into fear because of you. We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did in Sihon and Og, the two kings of the Amorites east of the Jordan, whom you completely destroyed. When we heard of it, our hearts melted in fear, and everyone's courage failed because of you. For the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on earth below. If you look at it, Rahab starts off here. She's talking through this. But what she does is she starts off acknowledging God as God. She starts off acknowledging as Lord of Lords, right? She starts off and she acknowledges the Lord as both heaven and earth. And because of this, because of that acknowledgement, she was able to understand and experience his grace. And really, this is our first action step as well. We must start off by just the acknowledgement of who God is, acknowledging that the Lord is Lord. In order to receive grace, in order to understand grace, we have to understand and acknowledge where it comes from. We have to acknowledge that it comes from God. We need to give him all the praise. We need to give him all the glory. That's why we spend time before we do anything. That's why we spend time worshiping him. It's placing him above everything. It's placing him as Lord of Lords in our lives. And we need to acknowledge him as the Lord of Lords. And even if you look at Jesus, in his lifetime, this is what he did. He made it clear that we need to acknowledge God as God. We need to acknowledge the Lord as Lord. In fact, the week before he died on a cross, the week before he gave the ultimate sacrifice to show who that grace is and to show God's grace, you see all these people praising him. In Luke 19, 38 through 40, it says this. Jesus is coming in. This is actually a Palm Sunday. He's coming in on a donkey, and all these people are praising him. It says this. It says, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." So here's all these people. They're worshiping Jesus as he comes in. And then it says this. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." The Pharisees are saying, make them stop, right? Make them quit. But then Jesus says, "I tell you," he replied, "if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." Here's Jesus, and he's saying, listen, you have to acknowledge that God is God. You have to acknowledge what God is doing. You have to acknowledge the grace that he gives and that the grace actually comes from him. Everyone was praising him except for the Pharisees, except for the original religious leaders. But his response was this. He says, even if they don't, the stones will. Listen, God's grace is something we all need to desire, but we have to acknowledge where it's from. We have to give praise, and we have to make sure that we put God in the rightful place in our lives. What's interesting here is the Pharisees are the group or one of the groups that didn't receive God's grace. And it wasn't because it wasn't offered to them. It's because they rejected it. They rejected it by not acknowledging the Lord as Lord. So my challenge to you today is to not be like the Pharisees. My challenge for you today is to be like Rahab. Acknowledge that the Lord is Lord, both in heaven and earth. Let me just separate that. The heaven part, I think, is pretty easy for most of us, right? The heaven part, we can acknowledge, man, God is the God of heaven, right? There's a heaven God created, God's in it, God rules it, God does everything in heaven. That's amazing. But the earth part is a little harder. Because there's things that compete. There's things that compete in our lives. There's things that compete to be Lord in our lives on earth, right? To acknowledge God as God on earth, it takes some action. It takes some response from us. It requires to give him credit for everything we have. It requires to really for us to trust him completely. It requires to make him Lord of law, Lord of Lords in everything that we have, which leads to the question. If God's not Lord of all, is he Lord at all? In your lives, is he Lord at work? In your lives, is he Lord when you're completely alone and no one else is looking? Is he the Lord of your cell phone and everything that comes through and everything that you look at on your cell phone? Is he the Lord of your browser history? Is he the Lord of your bank account, right? Is he the Lord of your family? Is he the Lord of everything? Is he the Lord at all? Is he the Lord of all in your life? And if not, is he Lord at all? Number one, we have to acknowledge the Lord as Lord. This is what Rahab did. She acknowledged the Lord as Lord, and then check this out here in verse 12. Continues on, it says, "Now then, please swear to me by the Lord that you will show kindness to my family because I have shown kindness to you. Give me a sure sign that you will spare the lives of my father and mother, my brothers and sisters, and all who belong to them, and that you will save us from death." Next thing Rahab did was really pretty simple. She asked for God's kindness. She asked for God's kindness to be shown to her and to shown to her family as well. Listen, we experience God's grace by simply asking. We need to ask for his kindness. We need to ask for his grace. This almost sounds too easy. In fact, too many times I think we don't even do this step. We just continue on. We skip this, right? We just go on trying to be disciplined enough, trying to earn it, trying to do everything we can, living up to every rule, every regulation. And listen, I'm not saying that. I'm saying we still need to live according to the standards of God, but it should be for a different reason. Not to be out of His graces, but to live inside of His grace every single moment of every single day. See, when we go on trying to live every rule, just because we're trying to be pleasing to God, we're going to mess up and then we're going to beat ourselves up as well. We're going to get discouraged. We're going to get frustrated. We're not going to feel empowered. But when we begin to ask, God's going to show His grace to us. God's going to empower us to live the life that we really want to live. But we have to ask. Again, Jesus encourages us to do this in Matthew 7:7-8. It says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, the door will be opened. In order to be empowered in our life, in order to receive grace, sometimes we just need to stop and we need to ask. Listen, if you want to be empowered at your work, if you want to be empowered with wisdom, ask. Right? If you want to be empowered with raising your 10-year-old who's going on 32, ask. If you want to be empowered to deal with raising a stepchild and to deal with their biological mom and this whole mixed family thing, listen, we need to step back and we need to ask. If you want to be able to work a budget, to have God in your finances and to be stress-free and to really take that to the next level, we just simply have to step back and we have to ask. The truth is, you're not disciplined. You're not disciplined enough in many areas of your life, but you can be empowered. This week, spend some time thinking about it. Maybe even write some areas in your life where you struggle with, where you feel like you're not disciplined enough, and then begin to make those a matter of prayer. Begin to ask for God's grace in each one of those situations. Begin to ask for empowerment, not entitlement, but empowerment through grace. Rahab acknowledged God as God. She asked for God's grace. And then she continues on here in verse 14. Let's check this out. It says, our lives for your lives. The men assured her, if you don't tell what we're doing, we will treat you kindly and faithfully when the Lord gives us this land. So she let them down by a rope through the window, for the house she lived in was part of the city wall. She said to them, go to the hills so that the pursuers will not find you. Hide yourself there 3 days until they return, and then go on your way. This little part of this story right here is really the part where Rahab begins to risk it all. She's following through with hiding the spies. She's following through with giving the spies an escape plan. And for her, she knew what this penalty was, right? The penalty of this, if she got caught doing this, the penalty would be death, right? The penalty for hiding the spies would be death. They would completely do it, but for her, it was worth it. She was willing to take the risk, to experience the grace, and the truth is we have to do the same thing in our lives. There's some things that we need to risk. Take a risk. To overcome that feeling of not being disciplined enough, we need to be willing to risk who we are. We need to be willing to risk even what we have. To be empowered by Him, we need to be willing to risk our own ways and follow His ways. In order to experience grace, we have to be willing to risk. So think about it. What can you risk? What's an area in your life where you can take a risk? Listen, your measure of risk determines your measure of return. Your measure of risk determines your measure of reward. Your measure of risk determines your measure of gain. So think about, what can you risk? What can you give? You've seen this before in life, right? I mean, physically, when we try to get something better, we're going to risk. We're going to risk eating healthy for a while, even though it's not as good, even though it doesn't taste as well. We're going to risk doing that, right? I mean, I had friends who ran cross country and track back in the day, and they did this thing they called puke runs. Sounds terrible. But what'd they do? They ran until they puked. There was a form of giving everything they had. In fact, we did this in college when we lifted. I lifted with a power lifter. It was terrible. But there were some times where we do just called pukeless, where we'd lift as hard as we can until we got sick. Listen, it wasn't probably the greatest thing. It was definitely painful, but it stepped us up to the next level. It got us to that next level. And the same is true with God. There's things that we need to risk for Him. There's things that we need to risk in order to grow and to experience more of who He is and all that He has for us. Think about it. Maybe for you, maybe there's some relationships on the line that you need to risk. Maybe you've kind of been covering up your faith, and instead of covering up your faith, you just need to come out and put those relationships on the line and say, you know what, I'm going to follow God in this relationship regardless of what the outcome is, because I know that God has the best interest. God's got a better interest than this person even does, right? Maybe our jobs, as crazy as it seems, maybe we need to risk our jobs a little more. Instead of using our jobs as just a safety net, as using our jobs as just a cushion, as a comfort, right? We need to put that out there a little bit more and risk that, so that we can rely more on God. He's our comfort. He is our strength. But we have to be willing to take a risk to experience that. Be willing to take a risk. And then the final portion of this is follow through. You see the end part of the story. Rahab follows through with everything she said. Jump here to verse 17 with me. It says this. It says, "Now the men who had said to her, 'This oath you made us swear will not be binding on us unless we enter the land. You have tied the scarlet cord to your window through which you let us down. And unless you have brought your father and mother, your brothers and all your family into the house. If any of them go outside your house into the street, their blood will be on their own heads. We will not be responsible. As for those who are in the house with you, their blood will be on our head if a hand is laid on them. But if you tell what we are doing, we will be released from this oath that you made us swear.' 'Agreed,' she replied. 'Let it be as you say.' So she sent them away, and they departed, and she tied the scarlet cord in the window." She obeyed what they said. She followed through on the agreement. She followed through on the promise that she made to him. She tied this, right? She tied this scarlet cord on there. She followed through with everything. To follow through, we need to do the same thing in our lives. In order for us to experience God's grace, we need to follow through on what we said we're going to do, right? We need to follow through on our commitments. We need to follow through on really our lifestyle. Listen, it's this willingness to share our faith. It's this willingness to live out steps 1 and 3. It's this willingness to live out the fact that we acknowledge God as Lord in our lives in every part of it. It's this willingness to live out the fact that we're going to ask and invite him for help in every area of our life. It's this willingness to take a risk. But we need to follow through. What's something that you need to follow through? What's something that you need to follow through on your life in this week, right? Maybe it's a commitment you made to the church. Maybe it's a promise that you made to your kids. Maybe it's a covenant or a vow that you made to your spouse. And maybe it's even an agreement that you made with God. But listen, follow through and live it out. Follow through with it. Even if you messed up in the past, watch when you follow through. Watch how his grace will empower you for the future. In the life of Rahab, if you look at it, God forgave her. God loved her. God accepted her. God even took her right where she was. But then he empowered her for her life to change. And she became a part of the lineage of Christ. And he can do the same for each and every one of us. Our past lack of discipline doesn't prevent us from seizing opportunities in the future. Our past lack of discipline doesn't prevent us from seizing opportunities in the future. Imagine what that means for your life. Imagine what that looked like. For some of us, we need the freedom that grace brings. For some of us, we need the forgiveness that grace brings. For some of us, we need to be able to give the forgiveness that grace brings, right? We need that strength. We need that guidance. We need that encouragement. And it's available for each and every one of us. But we have to acknowledge the Lord is Lord. We have to ask for his grace. We have to be willing to risk all of who we are, and then we have to follow through. Listen, the truth is, we are not always disciplined enough. But God's grace empowers us in our lack of discipline. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father God, we thank you right now. God, we thank you for your grace. And we thank you for speaking to us. And we thank you for continually to speak to us through your grace, God. God, right now I pray for those, God, that maybe have never acknowledged that you're the Lord of Lords, God. And God, I pray that this moment will be a redefining moment in their life. God, I pray that this is a moment where they can make a commitment to make you Lord, and then they can live that out. God, I pray for those, God, that just need to ask for your help. I pray for those that have been trying to do it on themselves, by themselves for far too long. And I pray that you will give them freedom and empower them through the asking. God, I pray that you will give us the courage to risk who we are, and then I pray that we can follow in every step and every way. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to the Life Change Church podcast. If you were here today and you were listening and you made a decision to follow Christ, we would love to hear about it. Or maybe you're here and you're listening and that God is asking you to make the next step with whatever that it is in your life. We would love to hear about it and partner up with you. If you would, go to www.mylifechangechurch.com and under the media section, please fill out the contact us information and let us know if you made a decision to follow Christ. Let us know what God is asking of you. And if you need prayer, we would love to partner up with you in prayer as well. We hope that you enjoyed the podcast and that it both encouraged and challenged you. Have a great week.